am chatting now on the program with Finn Eichner of Lips, who joins me now to kōrero about a long-lost record now seeing the light of online music promotion. Knife Crazy were a Buffalo, New York post-hardcore supergroup who blazed brightly in the mid-2000s and then shattered spectacularly. Made up of Aucklander Finn, LA's Vic Lazer, some GIFs, and Buffalo author Philip Friedenberg, the band members reconvened virtually to finish off their jagged masterpiece of a record. It's their second record after Delicious Delicious Science. Here to chat all about the band and the record. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having
me. I'm glad to have you. Now, my first question, I've got a lot of silly questions, but my first one is, what's with the giant sure head behind you?
The giant sharehead is, so the band Lips has a song called Your Deodorant Doesn't Work. And near the end of the song, Steph, the singer in Lips, goes off on a whole jag where she name checks a bunch of women who's in there. Jacinda Ardern, Beyonce, Reese Witherspoon, and I think Cher is kind of the queen of them all. And we did a show one time where we made giant heads out of corflute for each of these people, and then gave them out to the audience. So they were just
And you got to keep Cher
bouncing around, and I actually, it's funny, I've been giving the rest of them away in a sort of bizarre act of performance art, where I've been posting them on the Auckland Free site.
Oh my God.
Just with no context and just doing them one at a time, just like, free head of Candace Bergen, you come pick up, And people are just like, and then I just am being this weird character.
Yeah.
Just typing everything in all caps.
Oh, amazing.
Not giving them information, and then people are kind of trying to take the piss out of me, but my character is like too dumb to understand it.
Mm. Having a little bit of...
It's like, why do you have this? And I'll just say, it is head. It is head. It is for free. You come pick up.
Whatever. Amazing.
So we held on to Shannon.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that would be the one that I would keep too, I think. I think there's no better place to start in terms of Knife Crazy than asking about the name. And the question is obvious. It's like, where did the name come from? But my follow-up is, what kind of knife are you yourself crazy about, like in terms of the function of the knife? But first, where did the name come from?
Oh, the name? The name was just, I think it was just a riff by Philip Friedenberg, as in he was saying a bunch of nonsense, as he is, wont to do, and he kept talking about how it was an imagined scenario. Just, there's a dude, he came in here, he went knife crazy on us, he had a hoodie on, I couldn't see him, and he had a knife, he went knife crazy, and we were just like, that's probably the name of the band.
Perfect. Right,
And what kind of knife am I crazy about? I like cooking. So I like a reasonably large knife for chopping things.
Yeah, I'm much the same.
For the longest time, I was like, nah, I don't deserve a big knife, or I don't know what I'm doing with knives, so I'll try to cut this thing with something that's too small. And that's dumb.
Everybody deserves a good knife.
Who does? Sorry.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And it changes everyone's cooking. Everyone's cooking becomes better as soon as they get a good knife.
It's true. When you're trying to cut like a rutabaga or something with a steak knife, you're not living life correctly.
So it's 2007. You track the majority of the record in the Fang Zone, which was a hayloft of a former police station. You've got a firehouse next door and a body shop downstairs. Is this not an insane environment to track a record in?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there were definitely fire engines going off. Fire sirens fairly often. We would blow takes there. It's also in Buffalo, New York, which is freezing. And this is an old building with single pane glass and a heater that works, but then the heat dissipates immediately.
Classic.
But it's amazing. It was an amazing room. It was a giant room. And then you could open a door and it went into a basically like a big warehouse space where they used to keep the loft for this was a former police stable, right? So it was like the horses,
yeah,
the police horses used to be downstairs, and so all the tackle and hay and stuff was upstairs. And then there was like an old hand winch elevator in that place.
Wow.
And I would put microphones in that like big room, in that big warehouse room, and just have this natural reverb. So I think on this record, I mean, there's a little bit of like, you know, digital reverb or whatever, but a lot of it was just everything I tracked, I always had a reverb mic as well.
Mm.
Which was really cool. And definitely not something I have access to now. I record everything I record now in this tiny room.
Yeah.
No reverb.
Were there any ghost horses about? Ghost police horses?
Probably. We did write a song about a horse. I wonder if that was just
subconscious.
Like if that was the horses being like, our story needs to be told.
So from Across Seasons Cities, the three of you virtually joined together to finish off the record. Between 2007 and 2026, where did those track demos live, and what kind of was the catalyst to going, oh, all right, let's get together, let's make this, put it out into the world?
They were on an ancient hard drive of mine, an old FireWire, the first version of FireWire drive, you know, that I actually had to even get a weird adapter that you couldn't find anywhere to even, you know, get them off the hard drive. So I had them forever. We had more or less finished the record when the band broke up. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
We still had to do some vocals and some other bits and pieces. I had to mix the thing. But it was kind of in the can. What was the second part of your question?
It was, what was the catalyst? Just a note that there is a very strange noise coming from, I think, your side of the Zoom, that sounds like a flapping of something that is slowly getting louder.
Oh, interesting. There's nothing here that's doing that. let's see. Hang on a second. Let me turn something off. Is that doing anything?
No, but you know what? We'll roll with it. Every time I speak, it seems to disappear, but it's not on my side. But you know, that's the thing about live radio, is that you get these things. So but it's okay. My question was, what was the catalyst to getting together again and putting it out?
So Lips did an episode of a show called Demo Gods.
Mm-hmm.
On 95 BFM. And what happens in BFM, or on Demo Gods, is that Finn Johansson, who's the co-host of the show, comes to your house, or your studio, or your recording space, or whatever, and you write a song together based on a number of prompts that Karen Hay, the other host, writes. And so she had written this, this prompt was, "You're not the door, it's me," right? And that made me think of this time. Night Crazy, where we were playing in some small town, and a very drunk woman was heckling us, and she kept saying, "Are you guys? Are you guys playing this crap? Why don't you play something I like? Why don't you play The Doors, man?" And our guitarist Phil, his brother Gary, and Gary went up to this woman and said, "He said, listen, I'm not going to hit your control, but I want you to go home and get your biggest son and bring him back here, and I'll kick his ass." And it was just silly insanity, defending his little brother. And nobody's ass got kicked. But anyway, that prompt made me think of that. And so Lips ended up writing a song based on that incident that you can, you can listen to on 95 BFM Demo God show to find it. And it just got Night Crazy on the brain. So
yeah.
I got this record, so I should really do something with that.
Oh, amazing. And so you just hit up the others and were like, hey.
I just started sending in mixes.
Oh, wow. Almost, yeah.
Almost without context.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I thought it was even kind of funnier to just mix something and just drop it in their inbox with no text. You know?
Now we got to talk about some of these track titles. I'm going to read off a few, and if you could just reply with some kind of coherence behind them, that would be fab. First one, Moonwalking Over Isotopes with George Washington's Runaway Coda.
I have no coherence surrounding that title. I can tell you that at the very end of the track, it kind of breaks it off into this little coda out of nowhere that's suddenly this fast thing, which was kind of a runaway coda. So I think that's where that came from. Moonwalking Over Isotopes from George Washington.
Okay.
It was a nonsensical band.
Yeah,
That was definitely part and parcel of what we did, was riff a lot of stream of consciousness.
Okay, next one. Texty McTextington?
Texty McTextington. Yes. Let's see. I believe the lyrics for that are something about you are a book, you are these reading materials. It had something to do with text anyway. And I guess in 2007, that whole blanky McBlank thing was happening.
Oh my God, that's so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that one's great. So that we talked about a little bit about this. So a horsey walks into a voting booth.
Yes.
You said that the spirit of the horse was, you know, speaking through. Why a voting booth? Why did the horse want to vote?
I don't know. I think we were probably thinking a lot about voting at the time. It was the George W. Bush years.
Yeah.
You know, heading into, Obama was coming up. But there was definitely a lot of, we could not wait to vote George W. Bush out. Why a horse? I don't know.
It's the police horse.
Yeah, I guess so. Like I say, they wormed their way into our subject matter somehow.
And I consulted my sources, aka the internet, and found an old interview you did. I'm unsure of how old this interview is, but at the end of it, it links to MySpace. So it is at least pre my entire tertiary education.
Sure.
In it, you mentioned a bowling alley you used to play, and you said you'd like to expand to more bowling alleys, eventually perhaps owning your own bowling alley and playing it nightly. Does the owning a bowling alley dream still exist?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know that I want to own one, but I definitely want to be able to go to a bowling alley and I want to be able to afford to go to a bowling alley.
That's true. They're crazy expensive now.
They are insanely expensive here in Auckland. I don't know. I mean, I guess down there too. But in Buffalo, you could literally do $1.50 games.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And a $5 pitcher of beer.
That's all you need.
Back then, anyway, in 2005, 2006, anyway. We did a lot of bowling.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I bet. And my last question to wrap things up is how, in your eyes, kind of from when you made this record to now, being in that kind of post-hardcore, post-punk weird genres, has the music changed around you? Do you think that younger people are doing it much the same, or...?
Oh, you know, there are bands now and then that pop up that I kind of go, I've been in this band, you know?
Yeah.
Like Ringlets is one that when they showed up, I was like, oh, this is like that thing that we were doing 20 years ago, you know?
But, yeah.
So I think things come around, you know, things are cyclical and I could be wrong about this, but I do think that there's a little bit of a hankering for more live sounding stuff. Just with the how easy it is to make a boring ass computer based record. I think that, you know, and especially now that AI is a thing, I think it, maybe even more so, people are kind of hankering for something that you can really hear the life in it.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely hear a lot of young people when they're making music now going, what I really want to capture is the live sound. You know, they don't want you seeing them live to you hearing their recorded music to be so widely different.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally.
Thanks.
So I don't know. I think we went maybe in a whole cycle. you know, of diving down way into, you know, computer land and now possibly emerging from that. I don't know. Slash getting deeper into it. I don't know.
Yeah, or conjoining the two things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks so much for joining me on the program, Finn. It's been very fun to have you on.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. It's out across streaming. It's on Bandcamp. You can find it places. You can listen to it. You can enjoy it.
Yeah. I should say also, at Knife Crazy Lives on Instagram is
nice.
Where we will disseminate all information.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Kakite.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Finn from Lips, actually talking about long-lost Knife Crazy record here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Here's one of the songs off it. This one is Punk Jacket. Stick around. We're going to have the news headlines with Cass very, very shortly on the program.
Find more of them at i1talkco.nz/podcasts.